Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set aside and upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together," says the Lord. "Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, 'Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it,' so I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall be from Judah's inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the reading from Psalm 22. "Be not far away, O God. You are my strength. Hasten to help me.
Save me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth, my wretched body from the horns of wild bulls.
I will declare your name to my people, In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
May all who fear you, O God, give praise. May the offspring of Israel stand in awe, and all of Jacob's line give glory.
For you do not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither do you hide your face from them. But when they cry to you, you hear them.
My praise is of you in great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship you.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek you shall praise you. May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to you, and all the families of the nations shall bow before you.
For yours is the royal power, O God. You rule.
A reading from the letter to the Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offsprings, heirs according to the promise. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" The man said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. The demons begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So the man went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning. Please be seated if you haven't already. My name is Joe Bender. I graduated from UC Davis this past weekend, actually a week ago exactly, with a thank you. And I got my degree in linguistics and Spanish, as your, I think the announcement sheet might say. But here at St. Martin's, we have a tradition of having graduating seniors like myself inflict a sermon on the congregation. So that's why I'm here today. Before I start talking about the readings, I wanted to talk about why I'm here. By the way, can you all hear me all right? Cool. So I did not grow up in the Episcopal Church. Actually, I grew up very happily with no faith tradition at all. But as a kid, I had a few experiences that made me be attracted to the idea of becoming a Christian. And the one that I remember most happened at a funeral, as it happened. It was at an Episcopal church down in Lodi. And as part of it, they celebrated the Eucharist, as we're about to do in a few minutes. And I felt it was so beautiful. So I didn't understand the meaning, but it was so meaningful. Something about it called out deeply to me, especially when the priest held up the bread, broke it, and said, I always remember her saying, "Christ is risen," but it probably was, "Christ our Passover is sacrificed," something like that. I didn't remember the words, but it made a deep impression on me. However, I was also under the impression at the time that to be a Christian, you had to subscribe to what I would describe as medieval views on gender, sexuality, the afterlife, and so forth, and I was not into that, especially because I'm gay, so that wasn't going to work out, or so I thought. Anyways, so then I came to college, and somehow or other, I genuinely don't remember how, but I came across the Belfry, the campus ministry here. I came across their website, I think it was. Seemed good. I showed up. I liked it. I found a community, in fact, of people who were Christian, you know, fully queer affirming, majority queer themselves, as it happens, and didn't think that anyone was going to hell, and talked a lot about how God is love and God's greatest commandment to us is to love one another. So I went to church on Thursday nights there for about a year. I still have been doing that. But after about a year of being there, Lent came around, and I wanted to observe Lent for the first time, and I needed something to give up. And after some thought, I decided to give up sleeping in on Sunday mornings, which is how I ended up here. And as you can tell, it's been a while. That was in 2023, so it wasn't penitential being here. I've stuck around. In fact, as you may remember, I got baptized back there in the baptismal pool 2 years ago at Easter Vigil, got confirmed 3 weeks later when the bishop visited. And since then, you've probably seen me up here as an acolyte and as a Eucharistic minister. I've also been a Eucharistic visitor. I've been a diocesan convention delegate, done a few other things. And it has been very lovely to be here. That being said, I promised I'd talk about the readings. So let's do that. So we have some pretty weird readings for today. I'm just going to be straight up with you about that. We have the story, our gospel reading today. It's a beautiful story. It also has a lot of very strange elements that I will be honest, I still don't fully understand after having prepared a sermon on it. One of those is the demons. Now, people of Jesus's time took it for granted that if you got sick, a demon was doing it, that sort of thing. I take it for granted that that's not the case. You probably have your own opinion. I'm not here to talk about demons. I just want to point out that they're there so you don't think I am ignoring them on purpose. Talk to your clergy if you want to know more about demons. In the meantime, I'm going to talk about pigs because those are also strange. Because we have the scene of a large herd of pigs suddenly stampeding down a hill into a lake and dying. And that is bad for the pigs. That's also bad for the swineherds who just had their worldly goods jump into a lake. It's bad for everyone around them because now there's a lake full of rotting pigs. I would not want that. So I understand upon reflection why the people wanted Jesus to leave. But that isn't the main point of the story, although that will come in later. Because the central focus, of course, is that there is this man who has been oppressed by demons. He has been living a miserable life that, in my opinion, you know, he's living a life worse than death. The only times that he feels human touch are when people are putting him in chains. I mean, no one has any reason to hope around him that he will ever be healed, that he will ever be able to love and be loved by people in the way that God intends for him. And then Jesus shows up, as happens in the Bible. Now, the passage immediately before this one is the passage where Jesus calms the waves as he and the disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee. And I bring that up to kind of set the scene. Because here we have, you know, there's a storm the night before on this, it's a big lake, you know, you can see one side from the other if you have good vision. But it's a pretty big expanse of water that Jesus and the disciples have crossed. And now they're in a foreign country. Now, how foreign, you may ask? So Jesus is Jewish. Everyone around him in his place, in his communities, keeps kosher. And now they're in a country with pigs on the hillsides. So he's in a pretty foreign country. He is not in Kansas anymore, even though he's geographically pretty close to home. So in this foreign country, the first person that he meets is the man oppressed by demons, a man who terrifies everyone he meets. People, you know, cannot be near him. It isn't safe to be near him, not because of his faults. And he's naked. He's, you know, He has been driven insane. It's interesting here. There are echoes here of our Isaiah reading, because Isaiah talks about people who sit inside tombs and eat swine's flesh, and this guy lives among the tombs next to a herd of pigs. In any case, Jesus does what Jesus does. He heals him. He heals him when he was beyond all hope of being restored to any kind of life that would seem to be worth living. And Jesus gives him the kind of salvation that we in the Episcopal Church like to talk about, which is freeing people here and now in this world to be the way God made us to be. Another interesting note, most of the healing stories, Jesus says to the person, go, your faith has made you well. And here, Jesus just heals him. He talks to the man. He could have said that, but there's no record of that. And even more unusual thing, though, for this healing story is that Jesus negotiates with the demons. In fact, the reason the pigs ended up in the lake, that's not Jesus's idea. He tells the demons to get out. The demons beg him for mercy and say, here, let's go into those pigs instead. That wasn't the choir. I just was gesturing that direction. So that happens, it's a strange thing to do, to have mercy on these evil spirits that have been making this man's life quite literally a living hell. There is a reason why I'm playing up how weird all of this is. I'll get there in a moment. As part of that, I'm actually going to shift gears to our reading from Galatians, and to what is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I'll read a section of it again because I like it. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And this is a beautiful vision of what we as the church are called to be. We as St. Martin's, we as the Episcopal Church, we as the Universal Church. This is the idea. Not that the differences between us are going to be erased, but that they are not going to be barriers to us, you know, being in unity. I mean, God, essentially, the way that I read this, we have the promise that at some point in the kingdom of God, we will be able to perfectly balance unity with diversity. Now, the church has often not been like that. We know this. People either, in spite of our faith, will treat other people badly because they're different, or, of course, they'll use it as an excuse. I mean, this is Pride Month. Look at the news, you'll see, yeah. And the existence of this letter shows that this isn't a new problem, because this is a letter. This is not an abstract theological statement. This is a reminder to a specific community close to 2,000 years ago that was already messing it up pretty soon after Jesus had been around. So I would say that it seems pretty clear that we are not, as humans, going to achieve this beautiful promise of unity and diversity, of overcoming the barriers we put up between Jew and Greek, black and white, citizen and immigrant. However the case may be, we're not going to overcome them by ourselves. And that is why, to me, the most important, or a very important part of that passage is where Paul says that we are clothed with Christ. Now, this is a metaphor that I don't fully understand. in the sense that Jesus is not like the alb that I have on, which is a good thing, because it's not about us active, like Jesus being passive and us actively putting him on and using him for our purposes. I mean, that is how what church has often been about, and that has led to bad consequences that you can think of for yourselves. But really, the promise is that we have God with us. And if we want to look at what God being with us looks like, we have to look at the gospel. And we have to look at stories like the one we heard today about the person who's often called the Gerasene demoniac. And this is why I have kept going on about how strange that story from the gospel was. Because this, apparently, is how God works. This is how Jesus works. We do not have a God who works in ways that I would have ever suggested. We do not have a Bible that is straightforward. We have a Bible that is full of very strange stories and episodes and things that mutually contradict each other. And in my opinion, people who act like the Bible needs to make sense by our standards are missing the points, and also missing out on a lot of fun. And so I am encouraging us all to look at stories of, you know, a Jewish carpenter crossing a sea, going to a country where people had what would be, you know, to his people, barbarous customs like keeping pigs and eating them, and interacting with, you know, people who everyone else had given up on, being out in the tombs in places that would be considered unclean. This, you know, this is our model. And I am not about to go out and take a boat ride to strange places. I mean, actually, I am going to take a plane to strange places pretty soon. But my point is that we don't have to do it. Like, I'm not saying we do exactly that. I'm saying that if we're looking at, you know, what being clothed with Christ looks like, it looks a lot more like what Jesus is doing, like what Christ is doing, than, you know, what people tend to associate, you know, God and Jesus with. And so to conclude this, I don't understand how God works. None of us are going to, at least, you know, for a very long while, depending on your view of the end of the world or whatever you think of that. But the point is that here and now, we have each other. We have some very strange stories. And I will say one thing I'm sure of is that if we look back at our Isaiah reading, we'll see, you know, the unfaithful people say, you know, keep to yourself. Do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. And one thing I am absolutely sure of is that God will never say that to us, because that is not how God works. God, the true definition of holiness involves reaching out to people who need help. And so I will conclude this by praying that, you know, that the love that enables Jesus and that enables us to do these things will be with us in these dark times, and will grow ever among us. And I also pray that we can embrace the strangeness of the Bible. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join us as we say the Apostles' Creed, which you can find on page 4 of your bulletins. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being from the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace and with courage, let us pray to the Lord.
God of relationship, you come to us three in one and one in three, reaching each of us where we are. Empower the leaders of our church to counteract cultural norms of fear, abuse, and disdain for those who are different, instead rejoicing in the gift of diversity. Let this Pride Month be a time to expand our hospitality, to speak out against injustice and discriminatory legislation, and to become bold change makers. We commit ourselves to the work ahead, looking to your example through Christ. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace. God of Ruth and Naomi, you bring us out of our homelands and into the new and unknown realities. You're determined to accompany us, never leaving us alone. For people around the world cross borders and boundaries to be with those they love. Remind us that we are all part of the household of God. We pray especially for those who are separated from their loved ones by distance, hostile borders, prison walls, or estrangements, that they may be safely and joyfully reunited in this lifetime and in your kingdom. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace.
Hear our prayer.
God of Joseph, you dress us in many coats of many colors. Remind us of the beauty of our uniqueness and of the belovedness of our bodies and all creation. Give us new eyes to see each other and ourselves as you see us, holy and whole. We pray especially for those who are disconcerting in discovering who they are becoming, that your love would guide their way. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace. God of Rahab and of Esther, you have called us to act in times of crisis and civil unrest. Embolden us, even when we are afraid, even we do not have the confidence in our own power, to move courageously toward the world we know is possible. We thank you for the leaders, activists, prophets, teachers, mentors, artists, and architects of liberation, those who have seen the fruits of their labor, and those who need us to continue the work. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace. God of the unnamed, you know and love each of your children, whether their names and struggles are known to us. We long to care for those who suffer in silence, unwilling or unable to seek help. Inspire us to reach beyond ourselves, to invite all our neighbors into the family of God. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace.
Hear our prayer.
God of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you draw us out of death into life. Free us from the bondage of fear, that we might fully live as your beloved children. We pray especially for those we love who have died, whose absence is keenly felt, for those who have given their lives for the liberation of all people. We pray for the repose of the soul of Bishop Bill Burlill, and for his family and for his friends who mourn. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace.
Hear our prayer.
God, our rock and refuge, keep us safe in your care and strengthen us with your grace, that we may pray to you faithfully and love one another boldly, following the example of Jesus, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like you to reach into the pew rack in front of you and pull out a Book of Common Prayer and turn to page 815. In this time of national tension, I'd like us to pray together the prayer number 3 for the human family on page 815. Let us pray together. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatreds which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony through your heavenly throne, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Beloved, the peace of the Lord be always with you. We have a few announcements. They are on the infamous yellow sheet, which can go directly onto the front of your fridge with all the rest of the stuff that you have there. There are a couple of things I'd like to emphasize. First of all, thank you, Joe. Joe has made himself sort of a generalist in our parish. You need something done, see if Joe's available to do it. And he's done it with grace and enthusiasm. He's going off to Latin America, where he is going to work with a Lutheran student program. And being fluent in Spanish, he should have a great time. And then we hope he will come back. I want to emphasize a couple of things. The first is, after this service today, we will start an adult forum on mystics, led by our guest speaker. Who's here? And somewhere on here is a name, and I'm from, anyway. Jerry. And we welcome you, and we're looking forward to your talking to us about the mystics. We are meeting after this service in room 6 and 7.
Which, if you're a visitor, is across the leaping line or fasting
line. Okay. Yes, that-a-way.
We'll get you there.
The other announcement, all the announcements that you need to know, everything you need to know is on this. I want to announce and urge you, during the summer, if you like to sing, try out the choir. The choir in this parish is unique. It waxes and wanes from a lot of people to a small group, but it's a fun group. We have small groups in the parish. The choir itself is a small group. And we have fun, don't we? Yes, don't we? Yes, yes.
All the time.
Yes, and they all said yes.
We don't like.
Are there any special events or days we need to recognize?
Celebrations and milestones? Why,
yes.
Yes, there are. We've got birthdays and anniversaries to celebrate. So Evelyn Keddie, who I believe is joining us on Zoom today, is celebrating her 93rd birthday today. Congratulations. Yay. Evelyn Juan Gaspar will be celebrating a birthday this coming Tuesday. And our own Janet and Russ Gephardt are celebrating their 47th wedding anniversary, also on Tuesday. So, congratulations.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Wow.
Anybody else? Yeah.
30 on Tuesday.
30. Woo-hoo.
I was 30 once. I don't remember it. Yes, ma'am. Great. Tim?
My brother Steve's birthday today.
Good grief. Okay, good. Yes. Yes. Go ahead. All right, anything else? Anybody else feeling a birthday coming on?
I'm having a birthday sometime.
January.
Sometime.
See what I mean about the choir? Let us walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice.
What about the prayer? The celebrations and milestones of prayer.
Let's say the milestones prayer. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now, walk in love.
Before we walk in love?
So sorry.
But perhaps you'd like to say a word about how we do communion.
Yes. We do communion in a unique way here. We will come forward in two lines to receive communion at the altar. If you come up, the ushers will help you move up. If you make a line on this side, you will receive the communion, the bread dipped in the wine, and it's called intinction, and given to you. If you line up on this side, will be given the wafer, the bread, and then you will drink out of the common cup. We do have gluten-free bread. It is also vegan, baked by a number of loving parishioners. We welcome everyone to communion. If you would like to come to the rail and receive a blessing, simply cross your arms and cross your chest, you'll receive a blessing. If you're unable to come forward, let an usher know and we will bring communion to you. All are welcome at Christ's table. Now, walk in love as Christ loved us. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Kingdom come.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command all things came to be, shining light and enfolding dark. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, and planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home. By your will they were created and have their being. From the primal elements you brought forth the human race and blessed us with the capacity for memory, reason, and skill. You made us stewards of your creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law. In the fullness of time you sent your Son, born of your servant Mary. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night before he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now the work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit, to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Sanctify us also, and let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the honor and the glory of are yours, Creator of all.
Glory to you forever and ever. Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now say, first in Spanish and then in English, Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes entrar en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amén. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from the evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Advocate, bless you and keep you in eternal love.
Amen.
In peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.